Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's podcast.
Why are you whispering?
Because I'm Salik Mappa, and Lonnie Love was out all night at an Emmy party, and she just got home, so I don't want to talk too loud, because she's probably hungover as fuck.
Are you hungover?
No, I'm not hungover, because I knew that I had to do this, and I have other... I'm doing Access Hollywood later.
Okay, what I'm hearing is that you were being responsible.
A little. I had fun, okay. Though.
Squirrel Friends, you don't know this right now, but I'm speaking to Lonnie on Zoom, and in the background, she has her own Emmy. And subjectively, what it says to me is, I'm a better person than you,
Alec Mappa.
And while you're home folding laundry, I'm out conquering the world. No, here's the thing. Lonnie Love and I went to a pre-Emmy party that Paramount, our bosses, threw for us.
Yes.
And all the nominees.
And us.
RuPaul was there.
Yes.
Trevor Noah was there. Everybody from The Daily Show. I mean, all these celebrities. If you're ever going to go to a Hollywood party, go with Lonnie Love. Because she literally knows everybody. We parked ourselves at a banquet and everybody just came up to our table, right? And this is why Lonnie Love is Lonnie Love. I go to a Hollywood party and I'm like, duh. She's like, that's the executive from Paramount who's in charge of the that is the president of development. Like, she knows the tea on everybody. It was amazing to watch.
It was a good time with you. And if you go to my Instagram or Alex's Instagram, you can see our pictures. They had this cool, like, 180 camera, and that
yes.
we took a cool picture. Because we haven't mm-hmm. I haven't seen you, Alec, in about 5 years in person?
I think the last time I saw you in person, I was filming Mom on the Warner Brothers lot. I was guest starring on Mom, and you flew by on a golf cart, and you almost ran me over. And I said, watch where you're going, Lonnie! And you were like, hey!
And then it was the Project Angel food.
Project Angel food, right.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't get to see you that often, and I mm-hmm. really don't get to party with you often. But mm-hmm. let me tell y'all something. Alec Mappa is a good time. I mean, he had on his pink suit. And he was the life of the party. I had
You're
such a good time with you.
You're a very mellow drinker.
Oh, yeah.
You were kind of like Don Cornelius. You just kind of like, you're just so
let
chill.
Let the smooth taste fool you.
Yeah, yeah. You're just so chill and smooth. And everybody who came up to you and said hello was like genuinely excited to see you. And you're great. You're like really good with
people.
Well,
you are too, Alex.
Well, I'm an extroverted introvert, which means at home, I'm quiet. Mm-hmm. Like when we're working, I can turn it on. But my default position is I'm kind of quiet and shy.
Yeah.
So, but out at a party, I can turn it on.
Well, you did, and we had a good time. And again, thank you to Paramount for inviting us, and Heather for, mm-hmm. She's one of our executives on the podcast.
Oh, she was amazing.
Fabulous.
She was amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Heather. And you know what? This podcast is the day after the Emmys.
Which Lonnie covered last night. And,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Alex. So who, okay. On the red carpet, you, Laverne Cox, and then we'll get to super secret celebrity drag race eventually.
Real quick.
I promise, but this is important stuff. So you were covering the red carpet. Who knocked you out?
Okay, let me tell you something, Alec.
All right.
This is the first Emmys major red carpet since COVID, because the last one was virtual. And okay. So when I say all of the television stars came out, and they came out, they were dressed. The energy and the vibe was so positive.
Where was it? On television, it said it looked like it had tables. Was it?
It was at the Microsoft Theater. And the way they arranged it, it was beautiful. They had all of this background greenery with, I want to say, Christmas lights. Like the little lights.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a slew of tables. They had three separate stages and a slew of tables for all the nominees, and then
to be kind of spaced apart, do you think, so that they don't get monkeypox?
No, it wasn't spaced apart. It was to give you the look of, like, I think more of an intimate look. But then there was an audience, like, after all of those tables were the nominees, because they want the nominees to all sit together in a table.
Yeah, and you want the nobodies in the back.
And that's where I was sitting. And the thing-
Oh, no, that's not... I don't want to hear that they did that to you. I'm going to start tipping shit over.
Actually, I was happy to go, but I had to leave early anyway because I was doing an after party. But just a quick highlight. I know a lot of people have already probably read the highlights, but for me, Quinta Brunson winning.
Yes.
Shirley
now,
Ralph.
Now, what did she win? She won...
She won for writing for Abbott Elementary. Yeah.
She should have won Best Show because that show is amazing.
Yeah, but Ted Lasso, because... And I love Ted Lasso too, but because Ted Lasso is so... It may be coming to an end after the third season. I think the Emmy voters just love it.
So Quinta's gonna get her chance.
Oh, definitely. And Shirley Ralph, she made history as the second African American woman to win an Emmy.
I watched her speech. It knocked me out.
I was inside. Like,
did you cry?
I didn't cry, but when she first came up, you know, because Cheryl is always going to give you a moment. That's the thing about her. And so she started singing. She started, and the white people was like, what?
What's happening? What's happening?
They was like, what's
going on?
I was like, why is she singing? Give her a minute.
Go with it. All the white people are turning around, looking at white people going, go with it. Go with it.
Like, everybody's looking at me. And I was like, no, just go with it. Let her have her moment. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, she did that to create the silence, to get people's attention, because there was so many people.
I've done a lot of benefits with Cheryl, and she does that, and it works.
It works. And then she was able to make a famous speech.
I can't do it because I can't fucking sing. Like, if I went, Jingle bells! Once again,
but it was a great night. Yeah. It was a great night. I had a bunch of great interviews. And you know what? We have to say that we are also happy for Lizzo. She did beat out our beloved RuPaul. But RuPaul,
she's got seven. Ru got seven.
Yeah. And that's it. And he also still has best host for Emmys. But it was also a great night for Lizzo as well. And in a way, I kind of feel bad because, you know, I'm like, I have two families now because I helped Lizzo with her campaign. But you know what? Right. We can all share. Let's all share.
We can all share. It doesn't have to be adversarial. Did you see Zendaya's dress?
Yes.
That was beautiful.
Oh, she was the belle of the ball.
She looked like a mermaid.
You know what I like? I always say this about her dress. She knows how to dress appropriately without aging her. Like, because she's young.
Right, right. Like, when Eleven came out, when the actress who played Eleven came out, and she was, like, at a SAG Awards or something recently, she looked like a 50-year-old woman. Like, she was styled too old for her. Like, her hair was, like, almost this, like, brassy blonde, and she was wearing kind of, like, a mumsy dress. So it's like, you're 16 years old.
Right.
Look 16 years old.
Right. And now she has changed. She's changed designers, and she just looks great, and this is her second Emmy, and it was just a great night. Melanie Lynskey was also up for that award, and I was pulling for her as well. But it's just a great opportunity. I think we're finally coming out of it. I think that's my whole takeaway, is that we're coming out of that pandemic period, people are back to, you know, celebrating a little bit more, and people are a lot more positive. And on a positive note, we're going to get to Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
No, I'm not done yet. First of all, the gays are celebrating because Jennifer Coolidge finally won an Emmy.
Oh, my God.
Which is, like, amazing.
I ran into her, too.
She's so awesome. Yeah.
First of all, I was in the room when she won. She got up there. She was making her speech. And then they were trying to play her off. And the way they did it, they have, like, a small music. And then
it gets bigger and bigger.
Then it gets bigger. She starts dancing to the music. And when I tell you, Alec, everybody lost it, like, just her dancing. And as I was leaving, She was also going out to take a break. I said, hey, Jennifer Coolidge. She said, hey, baby. And I was like, that's my girl. That's
yeah.
So it was really, really great,
okay.
You know.
Okay,
so.
The very last thing I'm going to ask you, because our producer just said 10 minutes. We are going to talk about Super Celebrity Drag Race and all kinds of things. The party, where was it? Who'd you see? Go.
The party was right next to the Microsoft Theater.
And you're saying you had to work the party? Would you?
No, I did an after party that aired on E, but I did step into that party. And I saw my friend Jason Sudeikis, who I was in Mother's Day with. So I walked up to him, took a picture, congratulated him. I congratulated so many people. And it was just, like I said, it was just a wonderful night for television. It's one of the biggest nights. Kenan Thompson, my friend, he did great.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's just nice to see everybody in one room. And we were all vibing and nobody got slapped. Anyway.
I gotta tell you. And we're gonna go into it. This is my takeaway from my night out in Hollywood with Lonnie Love. I'm a watcher. Because I'm an actress, so I love to witness behavior. We saw stuff that I haven't seen in a long time. Like impossibly beautiful supermodels with really ordinary looking guys, which is so Hollywood, right? Did you see that gorgeous black woman with like a really schlubby guy? And it was like, I love seeing, because there's a niceness to Hollywood and how people interact with each other that can come across a little phony.
Yeah.
But when people come up to Lonnie Love, they are genuinely excited, genuinely affectionate. My friend Dulce Sloan, who's on The Daily Show, which
I love
was nominated, was there, and hilarious girl. And all three of us sat together with my friend Calpurnia Adams. We had a great time. But just seeing people light up when they see you made me so happy.
And
It just made me so happy.
And it was nice to see the RuPaul executives at the Paramount.
Yes.
They're just so full of life, and they're so sweet. And
shout out to Randy Barbato and Mandy from World of Wonder, who produced RuPaul's Drag Race. We got to see them. It was really, really great. And speaking of celebrities, we are going to talk about, finally, actually, I could really honestly, Lonnie, just talk about, I want to hear all the shit, and that's just going to have to be another
conversation. It was a lot. I'll talk to you offline on that.
Okay. We are going to be talking about Secret Celebrity Drag Race Episode 6.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be spoilers, y'all. Mm-hmm. Today, what are we going to talk about, Lonnie?
We're going to see who's who. It's going to be a reveal. The identities have been revealed.
Revealed.
About the group. Yep. And solo performance. We're going to do the lip sync for your life. So let's just get right into it, huh, Allie? Look, last week's winner was Donna Bellissima. Uh-huh. She and Chakwa 7 were the top two queens.
It was a tie. I remember.
Yeah, it was a tie. They lip synced. No one was eliminated. Mm-hmm. RuPaul told the contestants that they would have to reveal themselves. And so now we come into this week where everybody's going to reveal themselves.
Yes. Now, if you have any questions for the queens or hot takes, remember to follow and message us on Twitter and Instagram. We'll leave you our handles at the end of the program. And Lonnie Love has a million followers. And I don't want to brag, but my numbers are going up.
Yes,
and
right.
I'm inching closer and closer at 34,000 followers.
Look at you.
So
okay.
Any second now, Lonnie. Any second.
Let's make it happen by the end of this podcast. Let's get them to 35.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about who's who and see if our guesses from last week were right.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the big reveals happened, Lonnie. Any surprises?
Yeah. The one that I guessed was Chakwa 7, Tatiana Ali.
From Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It was so nice to see her doing something like this.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, and also to see her kind of evolve from a child star into a normal human being. Is nice because child stars sometimes go bananas because they can't adjust back to real life after being on television. So that was nice to see her all grow up. I was correct. Thirsty Von Trapp was Mark in Delicato. But that was kind of cheating because we did work together on Ugly Betty. But he was also 12 years old at the time. So again, he's another child star who's turned out to be amazing. Donna Bellissima is Daniel Francese, who was on Mean Girls. He's very famous for being on Mean Girls. He's a good friend of mine, and that was really exciting. Who was Poppy Love, Lonnie?
A.J. McLean from Backstreet.
McLean, not McLean. He's not a hamburger
Is
at
it
McDonald's.
McLean? A.J. McLean? It's spelled McLean.
McLean. He's
Lonnie, destroyer of names.
McLean. If you don't want any too
you can
too
tell
many
I'm
calories,
not a Backstreet person.
Order the McLean. Do you remember when we did that talk show together years ago and I didn't know how to pronounce Omarion? And I said,
Omarion.
I said, that singer, Omarion. And you were like, what?
I was so proud of myself, though. You would have been proud of me.
Omarion. Yeah, what happened?
I was pronouncing the names correctly.
You have to at an awards thing. That's really.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good
that
one.
That was a woof.
Yeah,
woof,
yeah. I love when people used to try to say Oba Babatunde. That was a tough one. Oba Babatunde. But then Mahershala Ali.
Oh, Mahershala.
Mahershala. I saw Mahershala Ali in my neighborhood walking down the street.
A nice man.
And I said, I don't normally bother people, but I just want to say thank you for your work. You really inspire me. You're so talented.
And wasn't he sweet?
And he was lovely. He shook my hand and then he punched me in the mouth. No, I'm kidding. No, he was lovely. All right. And then coming up next, the last reveal was Chick LaFay, who was...
Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale. You got it. You're hungover. You are totally hungover. I don't believe you.
I was like, why are you asking me this?
How many, what kind of drinks
Wait
did you
minute.
Have at the
Kevin
party?
Wait a minute. Kevin is an actor,
Kevin
correct?
McHale is an actor. He was on Glee. He played the kid in the wheelchair.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
he
all
was
right,
the
all right.
kid in
I'm
the glasses
up to date.
In the wheelchair. Did you have a lot to drink last night?
A little bit. But I told you I was getting ready for this.
I know. So you didn't want to get too sloppy so you could get... so you don't look like shite when you do Access Hollywood.
No, actually, I thought this was 2 hours later. I thought I had 2 hours.
Oh,
and
I
then
did
my
too.
Assistant...
I did too.
Thank you! I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let me look
I
at this.
See, I don't have an assistant because I don't have 1 million followers.
It
and
doesn't matter.
And I am not as universally adored...
It doesn't matter.
...with
if you
an
think
Emmy
it was 1 o'clock,
as Lonnie Love. So I am not as informed.
You know what? Anyway, so the reveal has been revealed, right? We cannot do this after a major award show.
We
any more producers? We are off the chain.
We have to focus. The big surprise for me. Well, I wasn't surprised because I knew, but it was nice to see the reveal of A.J. McLean as Poppy Love, because I was a big Backstreet Boys fan. I want it that way. Everybody. Yeah. Lonnie's looking at me like, no. If it was an Omarion song, I would know. I don't care about the Backstreet
Boys.
No,
I actually did.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Well, no, I actually did a reality show with Howie D. It was that dance show.
Oh, okay.
Earlier this year Dirty Dancing.
Howie D? Was he in Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
Which one was he?
Howie D.
I don't remember.
Are you a Backstreet Boys fan?
I was a fan, but it was 90 years ago. I don't remember what happened in the 90s. I was drunk. I'm an alcoholic. I quit drinking 14
Alex,
months ago.
You were just saying, everybody, I'm a Backstreet Boys fan. And I said, Howie D. And you
listen,
it was that.
Listen, I can know the names of the songs. I can know that. Quit playing games. I know the white boy with the blonde hair, his last name is Carter. I don't remember who Howie D was. But A.J. McLean was the Backstreet Boys. And that explained why he was such a great dancer.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kevin McHale, who didn't dance a lot in Glee because he was playing somebody in a wheelchair, amazing performer. Tatiana Ali, amazing performer. She really turned it out. And yes. Daniel Francesi, of course, like grew and grew in this competition into a more confident performer.
Yeah. And I was just surprised. I was like, I like to see the reason why they chose to do this show. And I thought that was interesting. So getting into the week's performances, the judges this week were Michelle and Ross.
Yeah.
How did you like RuPaul's look?
Oh, of course. Okay. So this was like, it was almost like a lingerie gown. Like the top part of it, it was lace. So it looked like the top part was almost like a lace bustier with straps, and it was in burgundy. But the lace around the breast area, near the décolletage, if you will, was a darker burgundy, and the rest was a very tightly hugging nude illusion underneath burgundy lace. She wore a honey blonde wig that was all teased up, and she looked amazing as
everybody
usual.
Is wearing the see-through outfits now.
Have you ever done
in Vegas?
Have you ever done a nude illusion?
No.
You could pull that off. I bet you could.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because you have that tiny waist and you've lost 37 pounds. And
thank you.
Yeah. And you're looking great. I think you could pull it off.
You know what? Everybody's doing it. When I went to Vegas, everybody is wearing the sheer and it's like a bodysuit or, you know, something. So, you know, this is the thing about RuPaul's look. It's always in time and modern.
Yeah.
And that's why I always love
always of the moment.
About her looks.
I want to do a nude illusion, but wear fake hair all over my body underneath so that it just looks like I'm the Sasquatch underneath the nude illusion.
Like, wait. I was with you. And then you said under.
Under.
I was like, oh.
So the nude illusion, so that you see through, it's just all like matted hair and stuff. I think that would be hilarious. All right.
The Queen Supremes came out all in red, and I loved it. You know, Monet had that ski mask on.
What's that? What's she doing? She looked like she was robbing a bank. I like the dress. She had a full-length dress and a red boa, but she was wearing like almost like in New York City, there were all these Jamaican street vendors who sold these knit caps and ski masks at wintertime, and that's what that looked like. She looked like it's sub-zero Arctic temperatures, and she's wearing a ski mask.
Oh, that
but
was
it's
hilarious.
On brand. She is who she is. Brooklyn Heights had a fringe red dress that I love fringe. I love the way it moves. I love the way it shimmers.
I love it.
And she had a top knot ponytail. Juju B had a platinum blonde wig in waves, almost like Marcel waves. And she wore a shoulderless mini dress with tiered skirts that came down into like a mini dress length and thigh high leopard boots, which was very unexpected and I thought looked great. Leopard with a red dress. Who knew?
They have not missed. The Queen Supremes, they have not missed in their fashion as well. Mm-mm. And they're basically, they give us the rundown about the behind the scenes. And so basically, you know, now that everybody is revealed and it's cutting down to just five performers, people are starting to get aggressive. They're starting to have anxiety. And they know they got to step it up. And that's what they're going to do this week because the category was what?
The category is RuPaul. Everybody sang a RuPaul song. Like the very opening number was Baby I Made It from RuPaul's Drag Race Live in Las Vegas.
Which I've seen.
Which you've seen. So did you recognize the opening number? That's what they did.
Instantly, I recognized the number. But before that, all the celebs, because they were revealed, they met in the workroom for the first time out of drag.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them were like, oh, wow, this feels weird.
This feels weird. This feels weird.
And they were talking about what they thought was going to happen now that their true identities were revealed. And then the Queen Supremes came in to tell them that they're going to still be performing as individuals, but also this week they were going to do the big number, which was the Baby I Made It. Let me tell you, that opening number, if you go to Vegas, I told y'all, go there.
Yeah.
Go to the Flamingo.
I'm going in January.
Oh, you are going to love it because this one was a scaled down version. Mm-hmm. You know, you go see it in Vegas. It's got all the bells and the whistles.
Yeah.
And everybody hits their marks.
Because it's directed by RuPaul and Jamal Sims.
Oh,
and there was a reality show about the making of it that's now playing on World of Wonder at WOW Presents Plus. And RuPaul basically tells the girls, my name's on this. So step your pussy up because you represent the show. You represent me. You represent the brand. So nobody's going to go out there and phone it in. Nobody's
gonna, a good opening number as a group for them. Mm-hmm. How did you like their outfits?
They were all in spangled, glittery outfits that did not leave anything to the imagination. They were all skin-tight bodysuits, white, and they had, like, Las Vegas shoulder feathers sticking out, and they each had a tiara.
And a different color wig.
They all had different color wigs, and I love Tatiana's. She had a very ferocious afro that was very big. Daniel Francese had a curly blonde wig. Mark and Delicato had a red wig. Kevin McHale was blonde, and AJ McLean had something on the in-between, kind of almost like an amber wig.
Amber wig.
And it looked like they were having fun performing with each other.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, it's kind of like, I am less nervous. Like, I have some nerves when it's just me on stage. Like, I'm playing Vermont this Friday. I'm going to do stand-up for some Pride event in Vermont, and I'm going, and I have a little bit of nerves before I go on stage. But if I'm on stage with other people, I never get nervous. It's the weirdest thing.
What do you do, though? How do you get on, like, you're by yourself. How do you get rid of the nerves?
Okay, I'll tell you. You tell me. I usually say, you've done this a million times. You've literally done this a million times. You've done this a million times. What are you scared about? You're gonna, you can handle this. And that kind of like just saying that because I've done it a million times. So that helps me.
Yeah.
What I mean, you have to say something in your head to kind of shut things up. Because also at one point, a lot of comedians become control freaks. Because it's like the room has to be this way. The light has to be this way. But at some point, even if you are prepared and you show up, it's really up to the universe. And it's going to go the way it's going to go, prepared or not prepared. So I say you've done it a million times and then I surrender a bit.
You know, that's what I do is I do a breathing exercise. Mm-hmm. I'm really into mindfulness now.
Yeah.
And so for the Emmy red carpet, I must have interviewed at least 25 people.
Yeah.
Some of the people I knew, some people I didn't know. And that's the thing. You want to get the right question. You only can ask maybe two and a half questions.
Right.
So what I did, because it was my very first time doing it live on that type of platform.
Did you do your homework on everybody? Like, did you have to like...
When I tell you I studied, and that's the thing that you do when you're doing your stand-up. You you study your jokes. You study the performance. You go over it in your head. You write it down. You do everything. But then once you get there, for me, what I do is I know that I got it. And then I do a breathing exercise, and then I just let go. I'm just like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Exactly. And that's really kind of the sweet spot. So like you did your research and you were never at a loss. You were never, I don't know who this is. And
And they're just common things that you can, I mean, even during a performance, if you see your performance, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
You see your performance isn't going right. You go somewhere else.
Yes.
You look at somebody and go, hi, where are you from? You know what I mean?
You to have get yourself to, back on track. You have to be present and acknowledge it and surrender. Mm-hmm. So long story long, I felt that because they were a group of five on stage together, they all did a pretty terrific job.
They came to play and they looked fabulous.
Yes.
But they're also being judged individually. So the performances that they individually had, and these were all RuPaul songs, Thirsty Von Trapp was first with Sissy That Walk. I love that song.
I love that song.
Now, this is the thing about Thirsty.
Okay.
They wanted Thirsty to be a little more foolish, a little more campy.
Yes.
And get the confidence up.
Yes.
That's what Thirsty was taking away from the previous.
So,
yes.
The fun thing about drag is that it's exaggerated femininity. It is the Warner Brothers cartoon version of femininity. Like everything is big and exaggerated. Thirsty looked beautiful, but while I was watching her do this performance and they commented about it afterwards, her eyes didn't seem, in her eyes, it didn't look like she was 1,000% there. Like it seemed like this is coming up. This, like the subjective feeling I got watching it was, remember with the girl who got eliminated, everything was perfect, but it wasn't as alive as it could be because her concentration was being unperfect. That had a similar feel to me.
Do you think it was too many steps?
Okay, so afterwards, they said, what's holding you back? And Mark said, I'm afraid of being embarrassed. And that explained everything. That explained everything. If you're all geeked up in this drag and the wig and the boots and the dancers, you're free. That's a license to kill. You have to really kind of let loose. And she got everything right, but I didn't feel like she let loose.
Yeah. Yeah, and the judges noticed it.
And that's the best song in the world ever. Sissy That Walk is the best song ever.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Up next was Chakra 7, Tatiana Ali, and her song was Cha Cha Bitch.
Yes.
When we talk about let loose, she let loose.
She was dressed up as a giant poodle with a ribbon, with a blue ribbon. And all the other boys were dressed up like little puppies. And it was like the Westminster drag dog show. And she was fantastic. It was kind of like, do you know that? I love that expression. She understood the assignment because she looked crazy. At one point, there was like a mini kind of like dog obstacle course that they run the dogs through in that Thanksgiving dog show. And she did it. And it was hilarious.
And I loved her look.
I loved her look. She had a purple fro wig that was styled like she looked like a poodle. It's styled like a French poodle with the big French poodle ponytail ears. And then she had this purple jumpsuit with a purple peplum and little purple tights. It looked like velvet tights, purple velvet tights with a little flare at the bottom. Hilarious. She was so good.
The thing is, what Chakra has been going through, we saw that her first couple of performances were based on personal stories. Mm-hmm. Then the judges said, you know, okay, that's great, but you need to be a little more funnier. Yes. So then she started doing more funnier performances. Mm-hmm. I think this performance put it both together.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. It all came together. And also, they've been saying, I'm finding my queen. I'm finding out who Chakra 7 is. And into episode 6 is where we are. Your queen better show up. You better find her.
Yeah. You got to find out who you are.
You got to find out who you are. Now. And this was an example. She got it right. Next up was Chick LaFay, who did peanut butter dressed as a giant peanut. She had... It was like the drag version of Mr. Peanut. She had a bustier bodysuit that was looked like a peanut shell with black glitter sleeves. And she sang Peanut Butter starting out in the stands.
I love that.
It was great.
I love that. I loved how she used the side stage. And even RuPaul said, you know, in 20 years, you're the only person to make me turn my head.
Oh, wow. That was great. That was great.
The inside scoop, the reason why RuPaul doesn't turn her head is because she wants to keep the light on her face. That's the reason why. Yeah. So if you turn, you kind of see.
You're out of the light.
Yeah, you're out of the light. But if you go back and look at all the drag races, you never see.
She does not
RuPaul
move
turn.
From that light.
No,
she knows what she's doing. And then the first couple times I was on Drag Race, I'm like out of my light all the time, like an idiot, because it's like hold still. You're in a chair to judge. Just sit there. So stupid.
I love the lighting.
Yeah. So the lighting on that show. I highly recommend. She came out and all the dancers were in the stands and she was throwing out peanuts. She interacted with a crowd like drag queens do at live shows, which I really appreciated. And then at the end of the number, they put a monocle on her like she was Mr. Peanut, like she was the drag Mr. Peanut. And the judges loved it. I loved it. Also, I love this song because Big Freed is on it.
Who doesn't love Big Freed?
Oh,
and it was
man.
So much fun. It had energy. It had a movement.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. And that was a great performance. That was, for me, the best one of the night.
Also, I personal note about Big Freeda, who I adore, because she is an innovator in New Orleans bounce, that sound, which is now on the Beyonce song, the Yaki 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 Yaki.
You Won't Break My Soul.
Started in New Orleans, and she would do it in clubs, and she would make all the straight guys or all the men stand to the side of the club. And all the women would come to the center of the dance floor while she was performing, and they would twerk their butts off safely. And she was like, I want women here to be free from any kind of harassment at all. And she's like, and you know, she's tough. She's not going to put up with anything. So immediately, whenever it became routine in New Orleans, when Big Freeda would come up to the mic, all the men would go to the side and the women would join in the center. And I just love that story. I just
love Big Freedia.
I love Big Freedia.
Up next was Poppy Love.
All right.
Devil Made Me Do It.
Devil Made Me Do It. I'm not familiar with this RuPaul song, but now I love it. Was she a nun or a judge?
I thought that she was a nun because the dancers were in little school dress.
All right. So he's a drag nun.
Yeah. That's what I took it as.
He was a drag nun with red hair singing The Devil Made Me Do It. And then towards the end of the song, she came out like in a big, almost nun's habit. With a big doily collar.
And a giant ruler.
I would have liked a nun head. Like the Whipple.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like Kathy and Jimmy in Sister Act.
Probably because of the hair.
Okay.
That's why we didn't have that.
All right.
So
she whips it off and she's in the leotard.
A bodysuit.
It is black patent leather with the white collar and black patent leather high boots. She's got this now. She's a drag queen. She started out as a guy in a dress, and they said, Sissy That Walk. She is Sissy That Walk.
Mm-hmm. And he dedicated the performance to his own sobriety, and he got emotional.
He did.
Talking to the judges.
Yeah.
Yes, because, you know, it's the ups and downs.
I've been sober for 16 months, and I have good days and I have bad days. And especially since I'm on the road, I was in Toronto and I was like, I could have a drink right now and nobody would ever know. Nobody would know. I could totally get, you know, but in my head, I was like, I would know. I would know. And also, I'm a terrible liar because my heart's attached to my face. I'm a terrible liar. Like, I can't lie to my husband at all. He had the bullshit meter on him. Also, I'm a terrible liar. So I didn't drink, but it really is a one day at a time thing.
Definitely. I was so proud of you at the Paramount party, you know, because you didn't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a person who drinks, you always kind of like look at the side of you like, should I?
No, but no, I'm fine. People, squirrel friends, you can drink around me. I'm fine. Like, I'm at the point where I can go to a club, go to a bar and not drink. And what keeps me from drinking, and I think I even told you this on a personal note, the real reason behind me quitting drinking is it was turning me into somebody I didn't respect. It was turning myself into somebody I was becoming somebody I didn't like. Mm. And when your drug of choice changes your personality or starts affecting you negatively, especially since I have a kid, I was like, that's it. We're game over. Done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good for you.
So for the conversation that he had, he did get a little moved talking about sobriety, and it was a lovely, genuine moment.
And this is a thing that we love about Drag Race, because it will bring out the issues, the things that a lot of people can relate to, and this was one of those moments, you know, that people can actually relate to, and it makes you root for that person even more, and it makes you relate, because we're all going through something, and to see it, and to see him still perform and do it beautifully is the reason why we watch it.
It's inspirational.
Very much so. Up next,
Donna Bellissima did All Born Naked and the Rest is Drag and decided to take a risk by not doing any choreography where she walk around or leave where she was. She stayed stationary, started out in a full-length white sequined gown.
Beautiful.
That was off of one shoulder. Beautiful. Strips it off to reveal an entire nude illusion bodysuit that was shiny and looked like patent leather, but may have been rubber or silicone. So it looked like she was absolutely naked. And she did this, you know, her journey on the show has been about like being at peace with her body, you know, finally experiencing herself as a sexual, sexy, beautiful person with this body. Like, my mind is not at odds with this body anymore. So that's what this number was about. I got it. I like the naked look. I didn't like that she wasn't wearing any heels, because to me, heels are drag. And I agreed with the judges that she should have used the stage instead of just standing there. But she said she wanted to take a risk.
Yeah, I mean, the thing in her package, you could tell, like, Jamal was trying to tell her.
Move.
Move. And, but in her mind, she was like, well, no, there's power in stillness. And it's like, yeah, there is power, but You were moving,
yeah,
but you could have moved a little bit more, and there's power in movement.
Yeah.
And everybody kept, you know, the queen supreme
mentors,
tried to tell
her.
Everybody was trying to tell her, but, you know, sometimes you, okay, I'm going to take this risk.
All right.
And she took the, okay. That's
the risk. Sometimes, you know, everybody, we all love a big swing. You know, I appreciate a risk taker, but the thing about risks is sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. And I think to the answer, did this work? I'm going to say yes and no. I think that the stillness kind of hurt her. And also, just aesthetically, drag is all about being in a heel. And I didn't like that she wasn't in a heel. That kind of took away from the illusion for me. But I loved the message that she had within this lip sync.
Well, I think she could have started still. And then halfway, when she took it off to reveal the nakedness, she should have put movement. And then that would have changed everything.
Yeah, like if she came forward into the audience and stuff, and then it became, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been, you know, that moment. But this is what we do in life. We take risks in life, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But she still looked gorgeous.
She still looked gorgeous. She still looked gorgeous.
And to be honest, I think the heel part, because I'm a bigger girl, you got to find heels that you can move in, that you feel comfortable in.
You had a little heel at the party. It looked like a spangled Chuck's Converse thing.
But it's very, very...
It had a wedge. It had a wedge. So it gave you that movement when you walked, like you were in a heel.
Yeah, and it gives you a little bit of height in the back and all that kind of stuff. I get it. So who was your top performance?
So my top performance is who they chose. They lined up everybody and they said, I've made some decisions. And the winner of the lip sync solo was Chakra 7.
Yeah.
Kevin McHale was safe. AJ McLean was safe. And the last two women standing were Thirsty Von Trapp and Donna Bellissima. They lip synced with each other, against each other. And what was their song?
You Wear It Well. I love that song by RuPaul.
You Wear It Well. And I was a little surprised at the result.
Yeah, I was too.
I thought they were going to keep Donna. And when they were about to announce it, Mark's face was, I know I'm being sent home. Like, she had a look in her eye like, I know I'm being sent home. And they said, Thirsty Von Trapp, Shantae, you stay. And Donna Bellissima was sent home.
I was surprised by that. But when you look at Donna's going away package, he represented his culture.
Yeah.
He represented body positivity. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful journey for him. Mm-hmm. And he gets $5,000 for the Trevor Project.
Yeah. I know Daniel Francese really well. We're friends. And he's had an interesting path because he was raised very religious, and he still is a very spiritual person, and he has found a way to meld his spirituality with who he is, his authentic self. And as a result, he's a lovely, lovely, lovely person. Mm. We're going to take a quick break, Squirrel Friends. We'll be right back. Do not go anywhere.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Next week, they're going to do Snatch Game.
Yeah. Oh,
they're going to do Snatch Game. I'm so excited. I didn't know they were going to make celebrities impersonate other celebrities. So that's going to be really, really cool. So again, we say this on every single show. When you talk about your favorite queens on social media, send them love. Send them love, love, love. And just know that anytime you put anything out in social media, there's a person on the other end is going to see it. You're either going to make them feel good or you're going to make them feel bad. So make somebody feel good. That's a superpower, to be able to make somebody feel good, which is what Lonnie Love does every day. Where can we find you on socials, Lonnie Love?
On socials, Instagram, Comic Lonnie Love, Twitter, at Lonnie Love. And Alec, where can they find
if
you?
If you want to be my 34,000 and first
follower. Come on, let's make it happen.
Follow me on Instagram or Twitter, at Alec Mapa. And we love hearing from you. Last week, we read messages from the Philippines. We read messages from people who listen to us in traffic. So send us messages. We love hearing from you.
Yeah, we'll shout you out, you know, some of y'all. So, you know, listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us. 5 stars, please. Download and subscribe and tell a friend.
And catch new episodes of Secret Celebrity Drag Race Fridays on VH1.
We'll be back next Monday for an all-new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Also, watch Drag Race Philippines on WOW Presents Plus. You will not be sorry. We love you. See you soon.
See you soon.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.